I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey people, welcome into a new episode of The Memo. Brad here. I was just going to wait and see if Derek would take the intro, but...
Why? You do it so well.
Yeah, well, I guess.
What would be the point in stepping on your toes?
I don't mind mixing things up, but then again, you made the point once that it's, people get used to it, me doing it, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. How you doing, man? You look distracted.
I read a headline from a local news organization that befuddled me.
Oh, well, that happens sometimes. Okay, speaking of headlines, I have to mention this. This happened in Maine, but apparently the scary clowns are back. You know, that was kind of a thing last year. People kept showing up in neighborhoods as clowns. What?
They never left.
That's the thing. They didn't. Yeah. But this might be the greatest, and this is just an AP rewrite, okay? But this might be the greatest lead I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read it for you.
Okay. Please do.
Here we go.
All right.
It's popped up on a Wednesday. A man accused of drunkenly strolling down a road in Maine wearing a black hooded sweatshirt and a clown mask and brandishing a machete taped to his amputated arm has been arrested.
Wow.
That's a lot going on right there.
He was dressed as a clown. He was an amputee. He didn't have an arm.
Right.
Wait, so what?
In place of his arm... Yeah, it's a machete.
Yes.
So what was the machete taped to? That's what
I think it looks like he's got it's probably amputated at the elbow.
Okay.
Or something like that. I don't know. Of course, machetes are pretty big, so.
DreamWorks has already greenlit the film for $14 million.
What's it going to be called?
It is already coming out, so this would be
Slaughter, but it's a little S and a big L. Laughter.
Uh-huh. I get it. So it'd be kind of a dark comedy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
The guy said he was actually, the reason he did it was he was copying previous clown sightings as a prank.
Because what other one have we read that's that gnarly?
Yeah, that's the best one yet. I mean.
Usually they're just hanging out at the edge of the woods with a balloon.
He really took it up a notch.
I feel like this may have been discussed when all these were popping up last year. Have you heard Patton Oswalt's clown story about taking his daughter to a birthday party?
I want to say you might have told me that, but I'm not sure.
Like Griffith Park in L.A. and this clown just appears out of the woods and comes to the party, but he's like in normal clothes and just has the makeup on. So it looks, and he's carrying a briefcase, so it looks more like he murdered the actual clown in the woods and took his makeup and then just like showed up for the party.
I think I have heard that story.
It's very disturbing. And then he just disappears back into the woods when he's done.
Did he entertain the kids at least?
He did balloon animals.
No, well, that's something.
They were all flowers, I think, or something. They were all the same thing. Everybody was like, make me a bike, make me a flower. And he's like, sword.
That's all I got, kid.
So, yeah, the whole thing was like, he just murdered the actual clown.
Not like anybody's paying me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. I know, some people are just like terrified of clowns, which I understand. I'm not. I'm like, whatever, it's a clown. But when I was younger and I would hear of that, I'm like, why are you terrified of a clown? And then I saw Stephen King's It, the miniseries back that came out with John Ritter and whoever else way back when. And then I started to kind of understand, okay.
Well, a new one's hitting today soon.
Is it? I hope it's good. I'm afraid, I don't know. It looks promising, but I'll want to check it out. But I'm curious to see the reviews of it.
I tell you, we don't have on the show today is clowns.
No clown. Well, Scott Morris is here.
If he shows up in makeup and a machete,
I'm out. Let Chris do that interview.
I'm done. That's too much for a Friday.
Yeah, Scott will be here, though.
I guess if you're going to show up dressed as a clown with a machete, Friday is the day to do it. But how about just not at all?
Yeah.
What? I'm still stuck on this. What? Why did he felt the need to copycat other people?
He was drunk.
Well,
yeah, that's all you need. Stop trying to latch
into
that.
And he's in Maine, okay?
Let me attach
you've got
my...
the Pacific Northwest, and you've got Maine, and that's just where the weird stuff happens.
Yeah, but this would be a good time of year to be in Maine, though.
Oh, I'm sure it would.
Let me attach my machete here to my socket, and we'll just...
I imagine January, February can get kind of dull.
Yeah. I need me.
I like the machete.
I need me a machete.
I don't think that you do.
No. Jenna Parsons is also going to be on the show today, by the way. Maybe she'll bring food. And you will let us know what's going on in the local entertainment scene.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to be, I like you, Brad. I'm going to be totally straightforward with you.
Uh-oh.
Jenna had a lengthy conversation yesterday, and it probably didn't happen, but she said she was bringing me cornbread, and she wasn't bringing any for you.
Excuse me?
Yeah, so we'll see if what actually.
There's a rumor going around at our budget meeting this morning that Jenna is currently cooking food for the memo people.
That's me too.
That's the rumor I heard.
I'm just telling you what was told to me yesterday. People. Perhaps listen. I should bring you some cornbread and none to Brad.
Why would you not bring any to me?
Because you're you.
What?
Because you talk about clowns with machetes.
There's going to be fisticuffs on the podcast today.
I'm just saying, if it is a cornbread, based on the doctrine she gave me yesterday, you will receive none of it, and it will all be for me.
I will sit here and stare at her silently. I will not interview her.
That's fine. That's fine. It's radio, so they won't know.
I'll let them know.
More cornbread for me. Let's get started.
They'll know. M. Scott Morris joining us. Again, as he does most every Friday. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing just fine and dandy, like a hard candy Christmas.
Oh, Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with Dolly. Hey, this is unusual. The movie you're reviewing, I've seen.
So you could, why am I here? I could be at my desk looking at internet stuff.
I could offer a review, you know.
Let's hear it.
The movie is Dunkirk. I saw it last Friday. With my daughter, my oldest daughter. We went and saw Spider-Man and then Dunkirk back-to-back. Kind of a contrast there. But Dunkirk, I thought, was excellent. And, you know, it's, as you mentioned in your review, minimal dialogue, but they really do a good job of conveying, like, the just all these tense moments and just the direness of the situation.
Were you twisting and turning in your seat?
I don't know.
Did you do a little of that?
Maybe not physically, but inside I was like, yeah, there were some moments I'm like, dude. It's
Christopher Nolan, he was the guy who was behind Interstellar and behind the most recent series, not the most recent, but the previous Batman movies.
Right.
With The Dark Knight and Batman Rises and Batman Returns. Batman Returns. But he has a way of just communicating through images and events and stuff and putting his characters in situations to where you just feel it.
Yeah.
And this is based on the true story of Dunkirk, when about 400,000 troops were stranded on a beach while the Nazis were closing in. And every time, they didn't have enough air cover. They didn't have enough large ships.
Yeah.
And so they activated the civilian fleet. So these guys in their pleasure boats came over to pick up the men and take them back to England.
Yeah.
So it's a retreat. It's a failed battle. Yeah. But even so, even though you're watching this, there's like something hopeful about it. It's a depressing movie and hopeful at the same time.
Yeah, it is.
Really a complicated emotions involved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, for a movie that, you know, it didn't really go for a bunch of character development, but I don't think that would mean, I think it makes up for that in myriad ways, just the way the people interact. You kind of get this big picture of how it all ties together, and I really enjoyed the scenes with the soldiers.
On the beach?
On the beach, and then when they're, you know, hiding out in that beached boat and getting shot at
just
all those interactions. And
a lot of near misses, a lot of close calls, and a lot of not near misses. A lot of death and destruction going on, too.
Yeah.
And but again, these moments of triumph and these moments of just horrible moments that, you know, I've never been to war, don't know what it's like.
Yeah.
But sitting through that for 2 hours, you know, you feel like I got a glimpse of something. And from media reports, I found out that people in their 90s, 95-year-old survivors of Dunkirk, the Battle of Dunkirk, have seen this movie and have come away crying and said that's how it was.
Wow.
Although Kenneth Branagh on Colbert Report, Late Show, said that some of the groups that saw it with him in London said that was the way it was, except the real thing wasn't as loud. Because when the real thing, the bombs would be going off like a mile away and next to you, whereas in the movie they're always going off right above your head.
Yeah.
So the sonic booms you get in the theater were a little bit amped up for emotional effect.
Sure, sure. And those planes that came screaming overhead. Yeah. I mean, I almost had to plug my ears. I think it was those Nazi jets that came flying overhead, over the beach.
So some people, I wasn't, but I kind of knew it was coming, but some people got confused by the different time signatures.
Yeah, now see, I had read a review about it going in, so I knew about that, so that didn't confuse me, but I can see how it would.
And so they have a little explainer early on, like there are three interwoven stories, and one is what takes place on the beach, and that takes place over a week's time.
Right.
And then another is this man, Mark, played by Mark Rylance, and these two boys who were taking their pleasure boat across to pick up people.
Yeah.
And that takes place over a day. And then the air fight, the dog fight going on, it takes place over an hour. And so we cut through all these stories throughout the movie, and then toward the end, everything kind of comes together,
right?
Where everybody's story converges.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed all aspects of this movie. I really particularly enjoyed the dog fighting with Tom Hardy's character, and I don't know who played the other pilot that they featured on there as well, but just going at it in the air with the Germans, it was just. I thought very well done, very tense, especially toward the end of that fight.
There was a moment when they're showing the dog fight from the ground, from the pleasure boat.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, wow. I mean, you got a big screen in front of you, and you're kind of well into it. And so that wouldn't that have been what a sight to see if you're there and you're just watching this fight, and it really determines whether you live or die what those planes in the air do, and you're watching it happen, and it just the view it gives you from the boat of just you could just been anybody on a boat watching who it was just an amazing moment for me.
Yeah,
it just kind of like brought home a little bit of what war must be like.
Go ahead.
So again, I don't want to overstate, you know, because again, I haven't been at war, so I don't know, but I certainly felt a lot of stuff watching this movie, and it's a powerful movie.
It really is, really immerses you. It's definitely one you need to see in the theater. In fact, my oldest daughter has seen it three times. One of the reasons being she's a big fan of Harry Styles, who's in it, from the guy from One Direction.
And I thought
he was pretty good.
And when he broke out in song in the middle and did that and did that thing, I thought that was wonderful. And it kind of lightened things up, because you need some lightening up. And, you know, that
guys, things are getting kind of heavy. I've got a song here.
And I thought it was an interesting choice to do a Michael Jackson cover. But still, it worked in the context.
Now, he was one of several young, kind of unknown actors that Christopher Nolan chose to cast in those roles of the soldiers on the beach.
And you really don't get their names. You just kind of see them scrambling to survive for much of it.
Yeah, the only name I remember is the Gibson guy. They were they almost shot in the boats. I don't really remember the rest of the names, but you kind of got familiar with their faces and kind of what was going. You could just kind of tell what was going through their head by looking at them, just seeing their reactions. And
thought
it was really good casting. And then you got names that you know, like Tom Hardy and Kenneth Branagh and people like that.
So, like, there's a mystery voice that of Michael Caine.
And
did
I thought that
it?
Was him when I heard it at first. Like, is that he's Michael Caine?
RAF
Caine?
Guy, yeah. You just hear his voice. But apparently he's been in so many Christopher Nolan movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And by law now he has to be.
He didn't sound, I think he may have, it sounded almost like he didn't sound quite as Michael Caine-ish as usual. Like, no. Because, you know, he's got a very distinct voice. It sounded a little less distinct. Maybe just because it was over the radio. I don't know.
Yeah. What's interesting about the movie and my reaction to it also was they weren't Americans. These are English people. And you want to, you know, we're, I guess in some ways, I think, you know, when you a patriotic thing comes out, you know, because you'll see it. And so you had those feelings mixed in with your feelings for the movie.
Sure.
And so there's no, I mean, obviously I knew somewhat how it's going to turn out, and I don't like Nazis, so I like to see them. You know,
right?
If bad things can happen to Nazis, I'm usually in favor of that.
Yeah.
Same when I watch Hogan's Heroes, you like to see the Nazis lose.
Right.
But no sense of patriotism involved, so the movie kind of exists with just valor and with just what's happening, and the overall sense and emotions that are evoked.
Yeah.
That. Again, just a masterful piece of storytelling. I give it an A+. The only A+ I've given this year, and I just was so immersed in it and so wrapped up in what was happening that it's an amazing piece of storytelling.
Yeah, I'd highly recommend it. I've had several people ask me since I've seen it whether they should go see it. I'm like, yeah, definitely go see it. And again, it's one of those that's best viewed in the theater just because of the type of movie it is.
Yeah, you're going to want a pretty good sound system.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's showing at Malco's in Tupelo, Oxford, Corinth, and Columbus. Also, the Cinemark here in Tupelo Hollywood premiere in Starkville and Movie Reel 4 in New Albany. You can read Scott's review in Thursday's scene section or djournal.com. Thank you, Scott.
You know, you could have done this all by yourself. I could have just...
It's all right. You're better with... So listen, I could never be a movie reviewer. I wouldn't be able to... I wouldn't know how to express how I feel about a movie. I just couldn't.
What I do is I stammer and stutter and just get through it somehow.
Well, you know. But you write it well.
Oh, thank you.
So I don't know if I could do that. But anyway, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps, although now I guess Gene is done. I guess I should now say myself and Dalton Middleton. Made his debut on Wednesday's episode.
How do you do?
The new high school sports reporter we have. He did all right. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So look for me and Dalton going forward on Prep Rally. Maybe we'll get Gene back as a guest host or something at some
story
point.
Time.
Story time with Uncle Gene. Can't go wrong with that. But new episodes air every Wednesday. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And for Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, be sure to check out Double Coverage. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MEC reporter Logan Lowry release new episodes each Thursday in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
You can wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news and entertainment in a 5-minute video. Catch new episodes each weekday morning at 7 a.m. at djournal.com or our Facebook page.
Jenna Parsons coming in on a Friday, bringing a bounty with her.
Not a bounty.
I'd call that a bounty. You brought us cornbread.
I did.
Moreover, you brought me cornbread.
I did.
And it was my decision on whether or not to allow Brad Locke to have any cornbread.
And you did.
Yeah, because he's a nice guy.
Chew your food, Brad.
I am.
Remember that next time, that I am a nice guy. I could have let you have none of that since she brought it for me. What do I ask for next time?
I appreciate it.
I was going to say next time it can be Brad's request.
That's fine. Just remember that I gave you a little bit.
Okay.
I just wanted to have it first, just to taunt over you.
Yeah, but if it's Brad's request, you know, we got like 5 things we can have. So.
Could you bring sugar? I'm a big fan of sugar.
Some cubes.
Macaroni and cheese?
Mac and cheese.
Oh, I love mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm. I'll take some Blue Box. There's nothing wrong with Blue Box. I love Blue Box.
I do, too. I like homemade better, but I will eat Kraft.
We were in a discussion about cornbread yesterday. You were not privy to this because it was happening in the cool section of the newspaper, the living section. And this is what I get for bringing it up. So thank you, Jenna.
You're
I
welcome.
Appreciate you.
I hope you enjoyed it.
Your check's in the mail. Well, I've enjoyed one piece, and I'll be enjoying the rest soon after. Are you taking it back with you?
No, I'm making another pan tonight for supper.
You're dang right you are. Okay, so we'll all be over at Jenna's tonight. Your food section this week, you went to the Hong Kong Chinese restaurant, my favorite Chinese restaurant.
Do you know that...
Cliff Gookin.
Once I... told a couple of people that I was going to be doing this. Everybody is saying that's my favorite Chinese restaurant in town. Really, I mean, several people up here and out on the street, and somebody even called. In fact, the reason I did the story, someone called Stephen King, my vet, a couple of months ago and said, you've got to do a story about this place. It's kind of out of the way. It's on Cliff Gookin across from Extension. Kind of down in that well, and if you don't know it's there, you're probably not going
to
see it.
Strip mall next to Steve Holland's funeral home,
right
over there,
right.
And occasionally they'll just close up shop for a month and go to China, and it's so disappointing because it's random times, and I'll go to the door. No, it's this month.
Yeah. I've eaten there before, but it's been a while,
good.
And I did not eat when I went to do the interview. Well, they offered, but I declined.
What I love is. If you go to a Chinese buffet pretty much anywhere, you're going to have 400 things on the buffet. And you know, not 400, but it's just a huge array of things. And
right.
They just do a small amount of really good things.
That's
instead
what they do
of
there.
A really large amount of just okay, you know.
Right.
They really put their heart and soul into a small amount of buffet items that they continually turn out throughout the day. But it's, you know, it's not one of those, there's 4 bays or anything like that. It's just the one little table. And because of that, I feel like they put so much effort into the smaller menu as a result.
Although they have a very large menu, but
they do have a large menu. Buffet, but as far as the buffet goes, it's just, you know, five trays of stuff,
and that's and they also they have a lot of the food. They have, as many Chinese restaurants, Asian restaurants do, they Americanize it for our palates. But they do have a few dishes on the menu that are authentic. And one thing I found interesting, Mr. Chow, who does not speak a whole lot of English, so his youngest daughter, Michelle, who works there, sort of acted as an interpreter for the interview. But Michelle said they hardly fry anything at home. I mean, that's just not a staple of their, maybe fried rice, but most of the time it's steamed rice and steamed vegetables and boiled shrimp. And so when we get things on menus that are breaded, crispy breaded sweet and sour chicken, crispy breaded sesame chicken, General Tso's crispy breaded chicken, that's American there.
Yeah. There's a great, do you have Netflix?
We do.
There's a great documentary about General Tso's chicken. Somebody trying to figure out where it came from, because obviously there was no General Tso, like why it got its name.
Yeah,
and it's actually pretty interesting. Just as an aside, your cook of the week this week, I cannot pronounce his last name, so I'm not going to try to.
Keist.
Oh, that would have been not what I would have said.
I thought it was Kist.
Yeah,
it's K-I-S-T-E, but it's Keist.
Or Kisty. That was what my first guess was going to
be. We'll call him Edward.
He's from Tupelo.
He's been in Tupelo since he was 15. They moved around a little bit. North Carolina, moved here from New York. And it was an eye-opening experience to go from New York to Tupelo, Mississippi for a 15-year-old teenager, you know, and if you think about this, this is like 1992.
Yeah.
So the mall had just barely been built. I think the high school just barely been built. And so, you know, Tupelo's done a lot in 25 years.
Absolutely.
But if you think back to 25 years ago, I'm sure it was a little bit of a culture shock to drive down Main Street, which was not nearly as vibrant as it is now.
Yeah.
And of course, north of town wasn't. It was just a twinkle in somebody's eye, really, at that point.
Yeah.
But he made himself at home and started cooking.
What was his specialty that he prepared for you?
I believe he said it was his mama that was Italian. And so, well, what he prepared was grilled chicken and pulled pork.
Mm-hmm.
He's a member of a barbecue team here in town, not a serious barbecue team. They really, he says it's an excuse to get together and eat and drink on the weekends.
Sure.
But when he first got out on his own, his mother had taught him to make spaghetti sauce. And so he would, you know, have pasta, like spaghetti noodles with this red sauce on it. And then he realized that he could use that same red sauce for ziti and lasagna and baked cheese spaghetti. And then his repertoire sort of grew from there. But what he's known for, if he's going somewhere, people want his barbecue chicken.
Gotcha. And he gave you several recipes, including his beef rib snack plate and his shrimp tacos.
And twice-baked potatoes.
Twice-baked potatoes as well.
And then the barbecue chicken, which he said...
Which is in the photo.
It is. Yeah. And there was a quote in there, and I can't remember it exactly, but he said, everybody can make food that's good, but he wants to make food that's memorable.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
makes something edible, but...
He wants it to smack you in the face and for you to remember it. So I thought that was kind of a interesting take.
And then your column on grilled tuna,
It was delicious. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I was in the grocery store on Wednesday, and a woman whom I go to church with came up to me and said, look at my basket. And she had some tuna steaks, and she had some garlic.
She knew who you were, so just random person. Look what is in my basket!
No, I go to church.
Okay, all right.
But she said that she was going to make that for dinner that night for herself and for her husband, and she was looking forward to it. And the only caution I gave her was, don't cook it too long, because if you overcook tuna, it will be dry.
Yeah.
You want it to be rare inside.
I like ahi tuna. I've never been a tuna salad fan. The smell is very off-putting to me.
I think that, you would like my mama's tuna.
Oh, really?
It's got a lot of fresh lemon juice and a lot of lemon pepper.
And not just a ton of mayonnaise?
And it's not very mayonnaise-y.
Okay. I like mayonnaise. I just, it's, no, this there's is so not, much this in is the consistency not very, of
and, you
it,
know, there are people who make tuna salad, and then when they go to make a sandwich, they put mayonnaise on their bread. It's
it makes no sense to me. That's overkill.
Why don't you just, you know, have some tuna in your mayonnaise?
Yeah, yeah.
Tuna sandwich is my go-to.
Really?
Tuna melt.
As much as you naysay things, that surprises me.
I love tuna melt.
Now that's...
I'll just buy those little vacuum pack things of Starkist tuna.
Right.
And add a little mayonnaise to it.
Right.
Put some cheese on it.
And
put it in the toaster or grill it in a pan. Good stuff.
Then do you do it like a sandwich, like bread on bottom and top, or is it open-faced?
No, on bottom and top, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's kind of a cross between a tuna sandwich and a tuna casserole, because the tuna casserole I make has cheese in it.
Yeah.
Well, the tuna casserole my husband won't eat.
It's good stuff, because Derek cuts another piece of cornbread.
Hey, you're dang right.
It's a big old piece there, bud.
We don't judge on the memo.
Listen, I'm about to have another piece too, if you'll allow me to.
Well, I'm sorry that the butter that I brought melted, but it sat on top of the hot cornbread in the car. But y'all just have to get over it.
I'm not complaining one bit, Jenna. Thanks for coming in today, and thank you for bringing.
Yes,
this.
You're welcome. Next week is Brad's choice.
Mm. I have to think on this one.
Are we dying? Well, did something happen that we don't know about?
But let me remind y'all that how long have we been doing this? And I promise food every week, and this is the first time I've delivered. So
2 years.
Brad, can ask for something, but it may be December before he gets it.
That's all right. That's all right.
My day came today.
It did.
Thanks, Jenna.
Thank you.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on all the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. 2017 session's over, but Bobby continues to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Be sure to check out this past week's episode. And next week, Bobby will have a recap of the Neshoba County Fair speakings. We had Jim Hood and Tate Reeves kind of going at it on Wednesday, and I think we had Philip Gunn and Governor Phil Bryant on Thursday, so a lot of speakings going on, even though it's not an election year, still kind of a big deal, and that the Reeves-Hood thing could be a preview of the 2019 gubernatorial race, so we'll talk about that this coming Monday.
Such a fun word.
Gubernatorial.
Goober.
Natorial.
Say hey to Gomer and them.
Okay. Well, Derek, let's talk about the scene section. What we got going on?
Gomer Notorial.
This weekend.
You know what I'm saying?
What?
Nothing.
I know what you're saying.
Well.
Nothing? Okay.
Nothing.
Moving on.
You like cars, Brad?
Yeah, cars are good. Get me to point A to point B.
Get your butt over to Pappy's Garage on Commerce Street in Tupelo. Today at 6 p.m. with live music, food, door prizes, and a raffle, all benefiting the Tupelo Lee Humane Society.
I don't think you can say butt on here.
What?
What?
But I did.
Oh, well. Chris will put the big bleeping sound on it. They'll think it's something worse that you said.
And, so that's going on. You can see classic cars and donate to a good cause at the same time. You can also head over to the Blue Canoe tomorrow to see Young Mister and Old Jeremiah.
Old Jeremiah.
Old Jeremiah.
Old Jeremiah.
Old Jeremiah.
Crazy Jeremiah.
At the Blue Canoe at, I think, like 9:30 p.m. on that one. So,
okay. Yeah.
Sort of a low weekend.
Yeah.
We need one of those every once in a while.
Sure. Things will pick up.
Low weekend.
Things will pick up soon enough.
Yeah.
Getting close to fall and all that.
You know, it's too hot to be outside doing
it. It is anyway. It's too hot to go anywhere. That's my theory.
You know, I had a column Friday on the grand invention of air conditioning.
Listen.
I saw how it was, by the way. I know Leslie talked about the heat a few weeks back, and you praised hers, but I didn't get any love.
I retweeted it, didn't I?
I don't know. You didn't put it on Facebook. So.
Well,
I think you did her.
My bad.
Yeah, should be.
Leslie has seniority.
But I got a long email from a reader that often disagrees with me and told me I was one of the problems with the world today and I needed to get out and experience heat and work in the sweat. And I'll be like, dude, I've had jobs where you don't go. You work outside all summer.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I'm wrong for enjoying air conditioning.
This person probably sent the email from their air-conditioned home, I'm assuming.
Yeah, on the internet.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the internet.
Yeah.
There. That's pretty convenient.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say someone, I don't think it was you, but someone the other day asked me if I had to choose between air conditioning and indoor plumbing, which would it be?
It was me that asked you. We talked about it on the show.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, did we? We did.
I don't remember that conversation if we did.
We did. That was actually where my column came from because we talked about it on the show.
I'm getting old.
What was better, AC or toilets?
Oof.
That's.
See, I'm not big on having to use a chamber pot or like an outhouse. Mm-hmm. But then again, I also don't like sitting in my house sweating bullets. Although apparently back in the day, they found ways to keep houses cool or cool-ish. Otherwise, I think everybody in Mississippi in the 1800s would have died of heat stroke. So I assume there were ways, that, like maybe the way they built a house or something that could get airflow going in. But still,
fans.
I don't know. I'm sure... Yeah.
Those crazy Romans, they knew what they were doing.
Them too. See, I don't know if I could make that call, man. That's a tough one. I really value
indoor
plumbing.
Listen back, because I think you answered on the show when it was discussed.
Probably. I probably went with indoor plumbing. Who knows?
I can't remember. Anyway.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else going on? That's it? You got some stuff in the scene section that not directly related to what's going on here, but you had a story about... some classic films that you can watch to celebrate the return of school, which, you know...
That's what happens when the band you interview cancels their show.
Well, there you go. But, no, this is useful, especially for me, because every year, the last weekend of the summer, before mm-hmm. school starts, my wife and I and our kids, we have a stay-up-all-night movie marathon, like the Friday before.
I did it for you, then.
So is that tonight?
Most of us don't make it. No, TCBS doesn't go back till August 9th.
So, yeah, that'll be next weekend
for
y'all.
It'll be next Friday for us. And so, you know, after we fight over what movies we should watch or what order, you know, we settle in and see who can last the longest. I usually don't make it past about 2 or 3 o'clock. I'm just too
who
old.
Always
I'm
wins?
I'm too old for that. It's, you know, Drew, my son, tries to claim he never falls asleep, but he usually does. I don't remember. It all becomes fuzzy. But, yeah, I got some good stuff in here. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Any Harry Potter movie. You listed the first one, I believe.
Well, that's the first time he goes to the school.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You see, these are all school-themed. Mm-hmm. Akilah and the Bee. What is this, Mean Girls? Is this in here, too?
I think it's a reference. I reference Mean Girls, but I don't...
Well, I just saw a picture of Emma Stone.
Well, she's not in Mean Girls.
I haven't seen Mean Girls, so I don't know.
That would be Easy A that she was in.
Sorry, I haven't seen that one either.
Monsters University, I see.
Yeah.
School of Rock.
Teen Wolf, Friday Night Lights.
Teen Wolf.
Excellent movie. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Any love for Teen Wolf? Anybody?
I haven't seen Teen Wolf.
What?
Yeah, I know.
No, I haven't seen it
Napoleon
either.
Dynamite, of course. That's a classic. School of Rock is one I've been meaning to see and just never have.
It's all right.
Yeah, I hear it's really good. Dead Poets Society. I have not seen that in years. It's an excellent movie.
Yeah.
I need to go back and find that one. I don't know if it's on... I don't know how many of these are on Netflix. I don't even bother with Redbox. It's too much work. They don't always have what you want. You know what I found, though, is, you know, back when, you know, Blockbuster was still a thing, and we had one, and you'd go in to find a movie, I would literally spend 30, 40 minutes, because once I get in there, I'm like, I'm totally indecisive. I do the same thing with Netflix. I'm on Netflix, I'm like, I don't know what to watch, so I end up...
It's not the same, though. Meandering around a video rental place was the best thing we could do in our generation. It was so good.
Stumble upon something
kids
you didn't know
today,
about.
They don't know.
Yeah, but then you finally find one you want, and they're out. Somebody else got that one copy.
Then you
got
to go check the box. Please let it be in here.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Good times.
Yeah. Do it again next week?
The show?
Sure.
All right. Can we talk about something else? I don't know. Yeah, next Wednesday we'll be back, I presume.
I will be here.
Oh, by the way, quick note, no double coverage this week. I mentioned it earlier, but Parrish is off, so we will not have there's no double coverage podcast. I guess they'll return next week. MSU just started preseason camp Tuesday.
Okay.
Ole Miss starts next week, I believe early next week. So they'll be back, getting into full football preseason mode, man. We'll be here before you know it, Derek.
Yeah.
Okay.
You like football, don't you?
Some. I like SEC football, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I don't care about the NFL.
I don't either.
They don't care about me is the way I see it.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
High school and college. That's where it's at.
Yeah. I don't know. At least I can know how much the NFL guys are getting paid.
But that's
a separate matter, I guess.
Zing. Hey, let's remind people how they can find us, of course, in iTunes, your podcast apps.
They're listening to us right now.
Maybe they want to find a better way.
No.
Maybe they're listening on memo.djournal.com, but if they're on the go and they want to listen, they should check their
podcast. Maybe they're outside the door right now and got their ear up to it, and they're like, how can I find
this? That's another way to listen. Sure, come into the...
Go away, weirdo.
Come into the journal and stand outside the window and stare at us.
Stop it.
I've heard of some radio shows, like some morning shows that are syndicated that'll do that. They'll have like this big
listening bay.
Big window, and people will come up and just watch and listen to them, which is kind of odd.
We should do that.
Yeah, we should do that. We should invite the public. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo.
Thought I had a stroke there for a second. Everything went silent. And I was like, what happened?
Just my brain froze up.
Yeah.
It happens. You can get to my age. It's coming. Just wait, buddy.
It's coming. I got 10 years before I'm your age.
It's coming. Don't remind me. Mm.
That's make it that long.
That's all I got.
Oh, okay.
So, see you Wednesday.
Everybody have a good weekend.
Put Chris just down.
Try to stay out of jail. Be good.
I will not. Not stay out of jail.
Okay, well, I'll be back next Wednesday for sure.
Yeah. Talk about coming and viewing from a listening bay. Come on down to Lee County Jail where we'll be locked up all day.
We'll do the memo from the jail.
You know, we should do that. Here's what we should do. Here's your thought to go out on. You know, they do those things where you're in jail.
Right.
And like locked up and you have to raise a certain amount for whatever. So we should actually get locked up in Lee County Jail.
The real jail.
For a day until... We raise enough money for.
We'd never get out. Well, I don't have any rich friends.
It's not about rich friends. Here's what would end up happening. I think they'd be like, all the proceeds go to Derek, and we're just gonna leave Brad at the.
Nice.
Yes, I'm just kidding. I'd stay with you till we both got out.
Actually, I do go to church with a bunch of like doctors and lawyers. I'm sure they'd come through for me.
Your attorney is not gonna help you at all either. That's what we should do. We should literally get locked up in a cell.
Do a remote podcast from there.
I'll shank you halfway through the episode.
Talk to some inmates.
No, don't don't make a mockery out of it.
No, like really, get some real life stories from these guys that have struggled
and straight.
Found themselves in a bad place.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can arrange that for you guys.
I'll text Jim Johnson.
But you could, Chris.
Hey, let us in for a day.
You know, I mean, I was watching Arrested Development the other day. I'd like to go back and watch it. You know, when Tobias went into the jail to prepare for his acting role as scared prisoner number two, whatever it was.
I'm a friend of Dorothy's now.
I sold you for a pack of cigarettes.
I'm just thinking about Job going in there and having to swallow the key to the handcuffs so he could get out.
Oh, I love that show. Season 5 coming soon, I hear.
Goodbye.
Okay, see you next time.